lot of good gears in the area. You know, I'm fairly new to both ham radio and, you know, keys. So I think I got my first key in 2016. So I did start to get my novice license back in the 70s, but then went to college and all of that, and it just time got away from me and life happened, and never got around to it until, you know, I got my license in 2014. Yeah, there's a lot of good keyers in the area. Several of them are in the DX group and the local Brars also. But yeah, I enjoy collecting them. But I'm going to have to drop. It was nice talking to all of y'all. And if you get a chance, take a look at that QRZ page and you'll see some keys you probably like. And you are right. N3ZN keys, they are a magnetic key also. And I've got mine set. Where you just barely touch it. I think you could actually, if you blew hard enough, you could make a key. They're very good paddles. Excellent. There's nothing wrong with Ventures. In fact, there's been more Ventures made and sold than any other brand key out there. I help out Scott at Vibroplex, who also owns Venture at Dayton, and I'll be helping him out again this year at Dayton. So, enjoyed it. Kilo Mike 4, Alpha Hotel Papa.
KO 4 LEO.
Yeah. Well, Mark, the pleasure's all ours. We enjoyed it, and thanks for jumping in here. I hadn't heard you in a coon's age. And you take care, my friend. KO 4 LAO, we're in here with Jerry down south there in 4DJC. Go ahead, Jim.
HP, KO4LAO, Mark, I'm the guy that had supper with you there at the DX meeting the other night.
Oh, yeah. You were sitting right next to me when we were talking. Yeah.
For Tom, but he didn't show up.
Tom's been keeping a low profile with this COVID, Jim.
NZO2, I just happened to hear you guys talking this morning, and good morning, Jerry, as well. Just wanted to say hi to everybody, and it was good to hear Mark on the net this morning, or the radio this morning after we had a chance to meet him in person. By the way, Mark, I did mention to my CW Academy class about your QRZ webpage and all the keys on there. They were pretty impressed, so you may have an uptick in traffic. KO4LEO.
Yeah, I just stuck one
headlight
on my power cord. Does
that help the white noise any by chance?
Mersmart. Okay, we'll remove
that one. Go on. Yeah. Good hearing you, Jim. And, Mark, be sure if you see Scott at Dayton, I'm sure you will. Jim, keep up with that, those InFed antennas. They're building some nice antennas now. Those are great. QRP work. Everybody's got one, really likes InFed half wave.
I think Mark's changing cords again.
NZOTR, KO4LEO. Tom, I went out and got one of those SDR radios, and I got it all hooked up, and so I'm watching the big screen TV there, watching all that waterfall. Man, last night, looking at everybody that was in the contest, it was pretty crazy.
Statement. I got a 23-inch band scope there. Oh, my gracious. It was, it was saturated. Your answer could just be South Carolina or like a K for kilowatt. Any one of them. Usually, that contest, I thought, asked for too much. There's one other contest they do, you've got to give them the first year that you were licensed and yada, yada, yada. And I don't like messing with that, but I don't contest anyways, Jim. I just cherry pick out of the contest. But, you know, yesterday was the first time in, I can't remember that I couldn't work a station. I was kind of in a hurry. But he was running 14.025 and split. I think he split as much as 5 kcs. and he was in Zimbabwe, which I don't need it for a band country, just a different station. And maybe, I don't know if I got them on that band or not, didn't even look. But, you know, I tried for a little bit to get into that, and I worked him in, maybe three tries the other night on 40. But, by golly, I couldn't get in there even with, probably 1,100 watts. And he kind of kicked me off. But I had to quit because Bernice wanted me to do something. I think it was Come and Eat. So I couldn't miss that. Go ahead, Jerry.
W2G Mobile.
Hey, what's the neighborhood? I got to jump out here, guys. I got to go downstairs and see if we can't rustle up something to eat. Good talking to you, Tom. And Jim, good talking to you, too. And hopefully Mark has got his cable straightened out again. And Russ, you go ahead and pick it up. Take me threes, guys. M4DJC.
Jerry, goodbye, Jerry. And have a good day. And hello, Tom. And I think there's somebody in there. I think so. Somebody else was in there. I didn't hear who. But anyway, good morning to all. Just barely. Go ahead, Tom.
Good morning, Rusty. Yeah, I just turned the radio on a while ago, and I heard Chad on there and Jerry. And said hello to Jerry. And then Jim, KL4LAO, come on there. Well, Jim, you need to come over some evening or whenever you get time and come down and visit. I had a hard time picking out what I wanted to work last night, and I wound up only working one on 80 meters, and then Bernice wanted to watch a movie, so I did that. But, brother, you could work anything last night, KO4LAO and 0TR.
Pretty crazy. If you looked at the waterfall, it was jam-packed last night there on 40 meters, and it's probably that today. I haven't had a chance to look at it, but and good morning, Rusty, as well. I think this international DX contest really crowded things quite a bit. Hey, I got a quick question for you guys, if you have a second. The contest rules in, on this International DX exchange, this CW Academy class that we're in, we're supposed to get in that and try it. They say W/VE stations may only contact DX stations. What's a W/VE station?
Yes, Canada. Rusty might have a better answer, but go ahead, Rusty.
No, a W means a U.S. station. If you've got it, and just any U.S. station, who is slant VE, which means you're up in Canada, working out of Canada, that's probably what they're meaning, is if you're a U.S. station working from Canada, you can't do except one kind. That's my take on it from what I remember from reading that.
I'm familiar with how this DX context exchange goes.
I just read the thing. I haven't worked it. I just read the thing this morning yesterday a little bit when to see if I want to get into it, and I haven't gotten into it yet. In fact, I haven't even turned my radio on in a couple of days, so that's what it is. Hang on, I'll be back in a second. I've got to drop something off here, and I'll be back in a minute. W2T, go ahead, Tom.
Okie doke, Rusty. Jim, you just send your call, they acknowledge your call, and when you send back to him, I usually send an RR, receive, and then you can send TU, Tango Uniform, if you want, but you can just say RR, I say TU, 599, and South Carolina, so you just type in SC. Or you can give your power, I think is what I read. Look in your QST on Contest Corral, and the rules are there. And what you can't figure out when you read across that line from it, you go down to the bottom where all the Astra things are, and it'll explain them. Or go to the website. But it's a real easy exchange. Just say RR2U599, and he'll come back with a TU usually or something like that. They work so fast. All he wants is the 599. South Carolina is the easiest way, SC.
Listen to him and look at it. And I was reading in the rules, and it says CQing station, CQ test from whatever the station was they're using as an example, and then the answering station gives their call sign, and then the CQer says whoever answered the guy's initial CQ call, 5-9 report, and then his state. And then the other guy comes back with 5-9 and then the power that they're using for that station. Over.
Is Jerry still there? Excuse me, Jerry. I didn't mean to talk around you there. Go ahead, Jerry, if you're there.
W2T back on the road.
I mean, now, Rusty, I don't know. Jim, the best way to do, normally 99% of the time, I just turn it on, tune to a station, and listen to what he does down at the bottom of the band, say, well, I don't know what bands you can operate now, but I just go down towards the bottom of the band, listen, or anywhere on the band, and listen, they say, and it's a very easy exchange, and it's very quick, so that's probably your best teacher right there, Jim. Go ahead.
That's probably what I need to do, is just get on and listen for a while and do an exchange. And then logging it, I guess most guys use Logbook of the World. Is that what they're usually logging that in? Over.
No, Rusty and I use N3FJP and then send it up to Logbook of the World.
That'll look. There's so many logbooks out there, you get confused as a new guy about which one to use.
That's the one to use, period. Bob even uses it up north, and that's a good recommendation you could get. Go ahead, Rusty.
Yeah, the N3FJP, he has a whole series of programs that are all ham radio. That's all they're for, Jim. AC Log is his main logger, but he's got logging programs for just about every one of the contests out there that you can think of. And what most people do is, like me, I've got the whole package. You can buy all of his programs. You get up lifetime updates, and if he puts a new one out, you get it automatically, you know, and you just use the package, and they all integrate with each other. So that when I finish a contest, I just tell my contest logger to go ahead and upload it to my main logger, and it does it automatically at the end of the contest. And then I can send my login to wherever I need, so that I've always got them all. And it'll tell me if I'm working somebody in the contest that I need in my main log. It'll tell me that too. But usually that's a good package. Look up his website, n3fjp.com, and he's a ham, and he writes, you know, he and his son write these programs and do a good job of it. And on that on that exchange, guest stations will give their state. It's only the DX stations that you get a power level from. Kilowatt, a KW, or whatever, 500, and that's what you record in there for their, in there for their information, and it'll all come out right like that, and it'll work for you that way. So, anyway, but that's a good thing. I just haven't worked any contests lately because I just haven't been to it. I may look into that one this afternoon. Go ahead, Jim.
The KO4LEO, Rusty, thanks for the information there. I really just wanted to make sure I do it right so I don't mess anybody's log exchange up and log it. So, and the other thing they says in the rules, it says you can't use a spotter. Tom, does that mean you can't, we've got these SDR radios up and running, so visually you can see the waterfall. Does that mean you can't use that, or are they talking about something different? Over.
Well, like if I work a station and I spot him on QRZ, you're not supposed to do that. But I got news for you. Everybody does. I've seen it too many times. Like I said, I don't run contests, so I'm not the one to judge by on that. Bob, Fred, oh gosh, there's just a whole plethora of people that could really tell you better than me, K9RX. And I don't record any power levels or anything. I just put them in the N3FJP. You need that program. It's great, and you'll really enjoy it. I'm like Paul, the one of the old friends of ours down at the CDXC, Greer Club. He's been around the world like you, and he worked for Delta for years. But he knows, I mean, he's worked every country in the world. But he knows the answers to that, too. I don't know if you go to that Greer Club meeting or not. But what a fine fella. And anyways, I was going to say, Paul is like me. I write them down on paper. Because if anything ever happens to that computer, I don't want to lose it. But you know, you just about can't lose it when you use that program, because you just go over there and send it directly up to Logbook of the World instantly. You just go over there and you click on e-logs. Let's see here. It says e-logs. And then it has Club Log, EQSL, and Logbook of the World. Basically, I don't fool with EQSL. I just use Logbook of the World. And then I just brought it up here, and all of my countries are on there right now. I can just look at them and see Honduras, Aruba, Croatia, Mauritius, Greece, Corsica, Bonaire. Whenever I work last is right there. And then it'll even spot new ones for you down at the bottom that you need. I really don't know how to use it that well, Jim, but for logging, it's excellent. And I say that without any reservation.
Jump in here real quick, because I've reached the grocery store. I got to run inside and pick up a few things before I head back to the house. So I'll be off for about 10 minutes, but I'll be back. Catch both of you later. W2T clear for now.
EKO4LAO 73 to you. Thanks for your info. I got to run as well, so I'll catch you another time. Tom, I need to get with you and set up a QSO practice or something sometime in the morning or whenever it's convenient for you, KO4LAO.
Why don't you come by and we can see each other face to face? I'm not very far from you, and you're welcome anytime. And I'll take you down. No, that's the dishwasher. Life's good. LG, I'll show you what I got here. And things are starting to pick up on the HF bands a little bit. 73's Jim, have a great day. KO4LAO and 0TR.
KO4LAO, 73's to you, Tom. I'll catch you later, and best to Bernice, and hope things go well and you have a great day. KO4LAO, clear.
4BWQ. KO4BWQ.
KO4BWQ, this is N0TR. Tom, and I'm located in Greer.
Hey, Tom, this is Jimmy. I'm down here in Anderson. I was just listening to you guys. A lot of times I think I can learn more by listening than I can by talking.
No, Jimmy, my wife tells me that all the time. I'm the extrovert and she's the introvert.
Probably right, because my wife says I talk too much sometimes. Explain to her, the first time she hears it's the first time I've heard it, so she can't get mad at me.
Roger. My wife's extremely quiet. Give me your call again, Jimmy.
It's KO4BWQ.
Don't like it when you miss one letter. I had BWQ. Jimmy Philly, y'all. I probably pronounced that wrong. That's a neat address. Leatherman, that's the good sight tool there everybody carries, and that's a really beautiful picture. How did a guy so ugly get such a beautiful wife there?
Just lucky, I reckon. Yeah, we're down in Charleston probably. Well, we've actually made another trip down there. We'll go down there every once in a while, but that's down at Shum Creek, down at right beside Charleston.
Well, you make a great-looking couple. I'm just kidding you there, of course. But that's a beautiful shot of a peaceful scene. Oh, I was looking at you on QRZN. Jimmy, well, how many years you been in the business?
Actually, I retired back in June. And the first thing I did was, you know, went and bought me a CB radio. And I kind of went through that pretty quick. I've got a couple of guys I still talk to on there, but I found out that the UHF VHF is so much clearer and so much better. And that's what I'm doing this morning. I went yesterday and bought me a Yaesu DX10, and I've got it powered up. I don't have the antennas hooked up yet.
I was getting a little hoarse here. I got some orange juice and one of Bernice's medicine cookies, I call them. It's oatmeal cookies, and for us old geezers like me, I'm 10 years older than you, I see, on there, Jimmy. But yeah, you'll find it so much better. When the sunspots, and we're on the uphill cycle of cycle 25, when they go up, CBs will get to where they can talk long distance again on 11 meters. And they work great then, but when the sunspots aren't there, they aren't worth a hoot. And CBs are AM and crystal controlled, and so they're a lot more static. And they're just no comparison to them and FM on 2 meters. So you'll enjoy that much, much more. And I used to be a CBer back in the 70s, and there's a lot of great people, campers and truckers and everybody else. It was pretty civil, but then it started going to the dogs, and the language got horrible. And hopefully, you rarely ever hear that here, and nobody will talk to them anyways if they do. But, yeah, you'll get great pleasure out of this, Jimmy. I've been on since 1991, and we got guys been on here since the 50s and 60s at times, too, Jimmy. Go ahead.
I've heard somebody tell me this is a hobby of a thousand hobbies, so I think it's going to keep me busy for a while. But like I said, I keep buying more radios. And like I said, I got me a little in-bed antenna I'm going to try to put up in outside. I may look at a vertical or something like that maybe in the spring, but I'm just trying to get on the radio. Well, I take that back. I can get on 10 meters. I just got my technician's license, so before I can really use this thing, I got to get my general, so I'll probably study for that, maybe take it first the next month.
NTR with KO4VW2. Fine business. That's a great idea, because 10 meters is not very good at all right now. There has been a few openings, but they're rare. And it's about like 6 meters, which they call the magic band. When it's in, it's in, and when it isn't, it isn't. But you get your general license, and you'll really enjoy that a lot more, because a lot more opens up to you, especially in the HF regions. And I do a lot of Morse code. Swore I'd never do it again once I passed my 20-word-a-minute test, but I thought, well, gee-many, why lose it when I worked so many, many months to get up to that level? So you had to used to do that, but you don't now to get your extra class license, which makes it much, much easier to obtain an extra class now. There was only 11% of us that had it back when I passed that, even in 91. And I should have done it 25 years before that, but I never thought I could ever pass the CW test. And it just takes elbow grease and determination. And if you haven't got that, you won't learn CW, because it's not something that I call easy. It wasn't for me anyways. And I'm not engineering level. I was just an electrician and electronic technician all my life. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, when I first started to look at this stuff, the guy that actually sold me my first radio, we got to talk about it. And I'm sitting there going, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Yeah, so why would anybody want to do that? But the more I look into it, the more I'm fascinated by it. So now, you know, I've got to get this other stuff out of the way first, get my journal. But I can see me getting into CW, you know, maybe in the next year or so.
Folks are using those digital modes, but I don't consider those ham radio, but I don't make the rules, of course. They are ham radio. But the computer's making the contacts for them. And whereas CW, you're doing it with your hands. And single sideband, you're doing it with your own voice, which is more satisfying to me. Now, there's a lot of people that just have a ball with these digital modes. I don't understand it, but they do. And it's exciting. There's so many different facets in here, and so it's just like anything else. Some people like Porsches, and other people like Fords. So I can understand that. But I thought they should have lowered the requirement for CW, but not just got rid of it. But guys, I was looking at my Bandscope last night, and there were literally thousands of contacts on there because there's a contest going on. And you'd just be utterly amazed at how many people still do Morse code all over the world. And it's rather surprising as old a mode as it is, but it works better because it's a narrow band. You know, the bandwidth of it on single sidebands like 2400 hertz, and it's 500 hertz on CW. So it really punches through. And I can sit there and work stations all the time, sunspots or not. Of course, it's better with them because the ionosphere works better when there's lots of sunspots for HF at the frequencies we're at. But you'll find it fascinating and find some niche in there that you like. I got a lot of friends that still do RTTY and things like that. But I just stick with CW and single sideband, and that gives me a full bowl, shall we say, Jimmy. KO4VWQ N0TR. Back to you, Jimmy.
I'm just fascinated because I was watching this guy on a video yesterday or the day before yesterday. He had a transceiver about the size of a pack of playing cards, a headphone, and a wire, and a headset. He was sitting on the beach making contacts. I said, you know, that'd be kind of cool.
The water gives you a good ground plane, and it works very effectively. A lot of these expeditions go out, and they're on a little tiny rock out in the middle of nowhere. And that's what they do, basically. It works really well for them. And there's, I don't know, I think about roughly 340 countries now, maybe less than that. I've worked 301 of them. And lots of my friends have worked more than that. But, of course, with these computer modes now, they take far less signal, and they count those as countries worked, which I think that's all right if they just give them another thing, but I don't agree with it that they give them DXCCs like on the CW and sideband. They should have a mode of their own because it's the computer really doing the work. But at any rate, like I said, there's something for everybody. But those stations, a lot of them's rare, and they're only there every few years, 4 or 5 years, and nobody wants to go back to them because they're such horrid places to transmit from.
The reason I went ahead and got me a new radio, because I had somebody tell me, that you don't really talk radio until you get to the high frequencies. He said everything else, when you're bouncing off repeaters and using the internet and all the other stuff that's involved, he says, but it's not true radio. He says, it's radio, but it's not true radio. So I see what you're talking about.
get some very memorable contacts. Everything from aeronautical mobiles to ships at sea. Jerry, he does satellite radio with his 2 meter and 440, and I should say 70 centimeter stuff when the satellites pass over. I had friends that even done meteor scatter with CW or Morse code and bounce signals off of meteors all over the world. So there's, you can do a lot of different things. But when the sunspots come back up, and they are right now on the uphill slope, heck, you can talk to Antarctica every night, or the North Pole, or Micronesia, Bora Bora, Tahiti, and all of that on a regular basis. I seen that happen many years ago, several times. But that's when it really gets to be enjoyable, when the ionosphere gets charged up and you get more skips. And it can skip up to 2,500 miles at a skip, Jimmy. So it gets more reliable then. It's really been in the dumps for the last 2 years.
T-Mobile again.
Go ahead, make one, Rusty. Talking to a newer gentleman here. KO4, Victor Whiskey, Quebec. VWQ, Jimmy.
Set it. Antenna,
multiple
frequency, but somebody told me I either need to get a beam or maybe a vertical.
Hubble and Tom, one out. The other station, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, that's what I was just saying. I said, somebody told me the solar sock was coming back up, so I've got to get me a good antenna. I've got me an in-bed antenna that I bought yesterday, and like I said, but somebody told me I need to either get a vertical or maybe a beam of some sort.
See if I got it. Jimmy, you don't want to listen to everything you hear all the time. I have two wire antennas. There at the last, I had a nice beam antenna up 50 feet, and I had two different 2 meter 440 beams on the top of that. And these wire antennas that I got are Carolina Windhams, and one of them is what they call a super loop. And I can work anything I want, anytime I want. They work just great. You know, I talked to South Africa the other night on sideband. Eastern Europe, or Western Europe, all over the world, on those wire antennas all the time. So they work quite well, and Rusty's got wire antennas. Go ahead, Rusty.
Jimmy, nice to meet you. Name here is Rusty. Call from Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango. And yeah, beams are nice, but for beams you've got to have towers, or you've got to have big poles to put it up on top of. Wire antennas you can pretty much string anywhere. I have a 80-meter loop. And full 80-meter loop. That's 276 feet. It's, you know, it's kind of square up there, but it's up there, and it does. And I work at all the bands. When I get it redone and get new wire on it, I'll be back able to get back on 160 again. But I'm putting up a 160 inverted L, and that's a wire antenna. I also have a G5RV up there. And as Tom says, I've worked everywhere. I've got DXCC on three bands now, and I'm working on two more. I'm close on two more to get that. So, you know, I've worked well over 200 countries around the world. And if I can hear them, I can usually work them. So having a beam is nice if you've got the place to put it, you got a tower up and all that stuff. But if you got you a good antenna, wire antenna up there, and a tuner, you can work just about anybody you want. Go ahead, Jimmy.
It's got an internal tuner. Do I need an extra tuner on the external, or would that be good enough?
wind power, Jimmy, do you need that external antenna? Your tuner and your radio will handle up to 100 watts. And I always tell people, ham radio is just like fishing. And I used to do a lot of fishing, but I was very poor. But it's a big hole you can throw money into. So make your decision slowly and accurately, and talk to a lot of people. And listen. Everybody won't guide you in the right direction necessarily. Towers are fine, and if you're able to climb them and maintain them, and there's rotators on them, and they can break, and they can be hit by lightning and yada, yada, yada. But so can wire antennas. But I think you'll find all kinds of advice out there. But you got to figure out right from wrong before you throw a whole lot of money at it. Vertical antennas work, but I found that they radiate equally poor in all directions. So be careful on that one. There's a lot of advertisement for them, but I think you'd be better off with a wire antenna. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, what the guy recommended when I bought this radio, he just showed me an in-bed MFJ 1984 HP, which is just 40 bands, up to 40 bands. I think that's going to be my start point anyway. I think that's going to get me on the air and talk with this tuner. I should be in good shape.
Station recognized. Let's see if I got it right. Yeah, Jimmy, you can work, you know, if you've got a wire and you've got a tuner, you can work just about any band, you know, you're licensed to get on. So it's, you know, and like Tom says, internal tuners are only good to about up to 100 watts, whatever the power of the radio is. If you're going to get in beyond, if you're going to eventually get an amp, then you'll want an external tuner. The braking station, go ahead.
Is AC6IW. Yeah, I was just going to jump in. I've used wire antennas. Had never used an in-fed antenna until recently. I've been out of ham radio for maybe 15 to 20 years and got back into it. And I'm really pleased with the in-fed. And then I was going to borrow an antenna launcher from a guy that I met on here. And he actually sold it to me for like $20, or maybe $25. And that, I think, really made the job a lot easier. We've got a bunch of trees, and we're in a neighborhood where I probably couldn't get away with putting up anything very visible. So I have it shot up in a tree about 70 feet, and then it goes across into the neighbor's yard that gave me permission. So it's a 268-foot infed. But it's not really even visible. Nobody even knows it's there except my neighbor that probably forgot that he even told me I could do it. It works great.
This is Gerald T.R. Yes, Jimmy, mine goes over four neighbors, matter of fact. Doesn't bother them a bit. And an antenna shooter is a very good investment. And it just shoots a sinker up with a monofilament line on it. And then you go over there and you pull up a piece of parachute cord and then pull your antenna up. And there's a lot of us can recommend the type of wire to use and all. And they're very inexpensive compared to a beam, for example. Nice to meet you, Jimmy. My name's Tom. And I'll turn it back to KO4VWQ, Jimmy. And then I'm going to go one more transmission, and I got to get out of this chair, guys. I'm old, and I start getting leg cramps. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Good to hear, because that's what I'm concerned. My wife has. When I got that CB antenna, you know, I put a big vertical out back and did that. And then when I got this one, she's worried about putting up antennas. But I think that's why I keep telling her, that wire antenna, I said, once it goes through the trees and goes across the yard, it's so small you shouldn't even notice it.
You can put most wire antennas can go up, and you can hide them in the trees without a lot of problem. You know, I know folks that have got them. Vertical antennas, I know a guy that is down in Florida. He's got a vertical, and he's got what he calls a flagpole antenna, which means his antenna is up inside the flagpole that's on his property. So, you know, works good on some bands and doesn't on others. So that's, you know, that's something else you look at there too. But there are all kinds of things you can do. ARL has a good book on antennas. In fact, they got two or three of them. They're all real good. They got all kinds of things. They get good information on them. And they talk a lot about wire antennas. You talk about a beam, you're going to run anywhere from $300 to $600 or more for the beam. You get put a tower up to put it on, that's going to cost you anywhere from, you know, $600 to a couple of thousand once you get it all in and all the concrete you got to pour to support those and everything in the hole you got to dig. So, you know, it gets a beam is, if you got one and you can get one for next to nothing, it's a good deal. But if you got, once you put all that, figure out what it's going to cost, you know, it can get more expensive than you think. Anyway, guys, I'm going to jump out of here. I'm like Tom. I've been in the car, and I've got to get back in the house, and I got to get do some things because I got a net I need to check into here that began a half hour ago. And if it's running today, I don't know whether it's going to be running because of the contest. It's a 20 on there on 20 meters, so we'll find out tonight. And I've got a 40 meter net to call tonight, and I guess I'll get to see whether it's going to be I'll be able to call it tonight or not. Anyway, talk to all of you later. Y'all have a good one. 73s, everyone. W2T clear. Go ahead, Tom. You can pick it up and pass it around.
Okay, Rusty. Nice to hear you today. I'd say this morning, but it's 12:35. 55 degrees here, so I got to go out and tend to my chickens out back and gather eggs before they break them. And it's the pleasure's all mine, guys. I really enjoyed talking to you, Jeff, and Jimmy. And I'll turn it back over to Jimmy, and you can go back up to AC6IW, and I'm going to sign off for right now. KO4VWQ in 0TRs. I'm now clear.
KO4VWQ. Well, I appreciate it, guys. That's a lot of good advice. Like I say, it gives me a lot to think about. And like I say, I like that idea because, like I say, I think the wire antenna is going to be a whole lot easier to deal with than trying to do anything else. Plus, it's going to be easier for my wife to deal with. But again, thanks for all the advice. And like I say, I'm going to be signing out too. So y'all have a good day. 73. This is KO4VWQ.
Jimmy, look up Carolina Wyndham. They make a couple of different versions of it, and I think you'd be very happy with them. Or look up Superloop, and it's even on the BRARS, Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society's webpage. Used to be, anyways. And either one is a fine antenna. Turn it to you, Jeff, and I'll get out of here now in 0TR.
AC6IW. Yeah, I have a 40 meter loop in my attic. I like it sometimes, depending on the time of day or night. And then but I tend to keep going back to the end fed because it's outside and away from the electrical noise in the house. But one suggestion I might make is maybe draw up a little diagram on a piece of paper with measurements to try to figure out where your trees are for yourself and your neighbors and your house and how much distance you have, and then when you're looking at all the antennas and trying to figure out which band you're trying to make it fit on, you can figure out all your options. Because when I started looking at that, I was like, I saw the trees in the neighbor's yard, and I was like, I know them. They probably tell me I could use their trees. And he did. He didn't even care. And now the neighbor's on the other side. I didn't know if I wanted to push it with them, but the height of our trees is at least 70 feet. Some of them are probably closer to 100. So that's like, that's great to have that much height. And I never could climb a tree that high. I've climbed up in a tree a little bit or used a ladder to put some stuff up, but there's no way I'd ever try going up that high. And the launcher is just easy, and it's kind of fun. I brought a friend over that used a new ham, and he helped me pull the paracord through there and all that, and then I went and did the same thing at his place, and he was real excited that he put up an infed. And like the guy was saying before, there's so many different options with wire antennas. You just try them. They don't cost very much, and you can kind of see what you like. If you need to borrow the antenna launcher, you're welcome to to borrow it because, I mean, I have it in my garage, and I made up another infed with a roll of coax, so I just have that all on a spool, so if I ever wanted to take it to, like, field day or some kind of emergency thing, it's all ready to go, and I can just fire it up in a tree and connect up the coax, so I liked it that much that just for emergency purpose, but if you need to borrow that, just let me know. My call is AC6IW, and I kind of live off of Pelham Road near the Sims Library, which is kind of close to, like, 385 and the Roper Mountain Road exit. AC6IW. I know you're probably going clear, so I'll go clear, too.
Hit 4DJC.